Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on KMBZ 980 AM, or if you're joining me on podcasts or on GrillNationShow.com. I greatly appreciate it. Also, we're up on YouTube as well as on my social media. We are excited about today's show. We're joined again today by a wonderful collaborator with the Grill Nation Show, Landmark National Bank. Their website is banklandmark.com. They bring on a guest each and every month here on the Grill Nation Show, and very lucky to have back Sayard Parrish, who's a vice president at Landmark National Bank. Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. Glad to be back, Jason.
It's great to have you back. How have things been going with you and since we last saw you?
Things have been good. Busy.
Let's talk about who we're going to have on the show today.
So October is National Women's Small Business Month. And so it's great to be able to have a female business owner on the show today. Cheryl Vickers is going to join us. She has worked in many roles within the commercial real estate industry and owns her own brokerage, small short-term rental portfolio management company, and is involved in mentoring other women in the business. And so I think we're going to have a great conversation with her today.
Yes, she's got a lot of different hats she wears, it looks like, kind of like
yes.
Me. Because when she sent over her bio, I tried to get as much as I could into the preview on the show, and I had a character limit. So I had to, like, you know, cut it up a little bit because she's got a lot of really cool investment and commercial real estate and, you know, consulting organizations as well as investment type things she does. So I'm excited to have her on, and also excited to have her on and talk about kind of the Wired group that she set up and kind of the women's why it was important to do that at this time. Mm-hmm. And why and how it's growing and what she thinks about kind of the future in that realm as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I got to know her, was through the Wired group, as you mentioned. And I know she'll talk more about that, but just focused on, you know, bringing up more women to take on commercial developments and investments and feel confident that they have the skills and the know-how to do that. And she just shares her knowledge and kind of pours into women in that group. And so, yeah.
When we were looking at some questions for today's show, I think I'm just going to let her talk. Let's just start the ball rolling. We have some specific things we want to talk about, but I think we won't really need
sure.
those questions as much as we thought we might, because she has a lot of things that we can discuss. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
I'm excited to have
sure.
her on the show. Cheryl Vickers will be joining us here after the break. We have about 5 minutes left in this segment, Sayard. I want to really kind of dive into kind of some of the things that you've been doing at Landmark National Bank. I know you guys have been very active in getting giving back to the community. Tell us about some of the exciting things you've been doing.
So last week we took the bank holiday that we normally have as our day off, and all of our bank associates across the footprint served in the communities and kind of lent a hand in any capacity that they could. And so we did things like prepare and deliver meals and pick up trash in the community, worked on landscaping projects, volunteered at vet hospitals and women's shelters. So just really made it personal to each and every community that we're in. So here in Kansas City, our mortgage group and all of our branch employees gathered together at the Kansas City Culinary Center, who I know you're familiar with.
We had them on the show, thanks to you all.
We did.
I still have not been there yet. That was during COVID.
Well, you need to.
I know. Yeah. So you guys went there, huh? Or you helped
we
them out.
Did. Yeah. So we had, they had it well prepared for us with stations set up so we could prepare a great meal for people at New House, which is a domestic violence shelter that's just focused on whole person healing and kind of breaking those trauma cycles. And collectively, I think we had 30 some employees, and we made over 150 meals that we got to share with New House. So kind of one of those full circle moments where you get to support a customer, but also, kind of collectively give back to the community, and make that impact, which is always a great rewarding.
What is the time commitment for that? And how many meals potentially do you make? I think that's a great way for other businesses to kind of get engaged in charity work, because I know that there's a fear in our society that because of all the changes that are happening with since COVID, with work from home or remote work, that maybe organizations don't have as many kind of giving back type days because maybe they don't see each other as much in person. And I've heard that from different nonprofits. So I'm interested to hear kind of what the commitment was, because I believe that we need to continue doing things like this.
So obviously Culinary Center does a great job of putting together those cooking classes. So it can really be, I think, scaled up to really, as small of a group or as big of a group as you want. It was still a great team building opportunity for us as a team. Also, as you mentioned, where we don't all see each other every day, but we're part of the same team, and so we got to collectively, put our hands really to work, literally, in creating those meals. So, I think, we had about 35 people at seven different stations and got to make a great meal. I mean, chicken spadini and orzo pasta and the whole fixing. So
you were really cooking some good food. I'd love to get over there at some point. I wanted to learn how to cook, because I don't really cook very much, and I feel like at some point I need to kind of step up my game. I love the food you just mentioned, though. Those sounded good. you guys are very engaged in the community. Where's your kind of your corporate office, or where do you guys mostly hang out at as far as Landmark National Bank?
Locally, we've got branches in Overland Park, Lenexa, and Prairie Village. And we also have a mortgage department officing in Overland Park as well. So kind of diversified across those branches, but collectively.
You're doing a lot of great things. And your website, again, is banklandmark.com. And if you go to the website, they have all kinds of great information and honestly, a blog as well that answers a lot of questions about what's going on right now with everything, how they can help you, how you can be engaged with them. They're definitely a very community-based and connecting-based bank. And obviously, they work with a lot of businesses and growing companies in our region and entrepreneurs. And that's why they're such a great partner with the show, because we get to meet those people. And today we're going to meet Cheryl Vickers, who's going to be joining us here in a few seconds. And we're going to talk about kind of her background, what she's done in her journey, a lot of different things with commercial real estate, site selection. She's become a super host with Airbnbs and has investment opportunities that she's working on as far as having that reoccurring revenue, I guess you would say, for the future. And so at some point, maybe we all, and her especially, can retire. And she's been working and hopefully going to be working more with Landmark Bank, National Bank. So we're going to be joined with her by her in just a second. I want to thank again Landmark National Bank for joining me. Sherrod Parrish, Vice President at the bank. We'll be right back with more of the Grill Nation show. Thanks for joining us today. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on KMBZ 980 AM via radio. If you're joining today on podcasts, we're on Spotify, Google, Apple, or Stitcher. Thank you so much. And if you're joining us on watching us on YouTube or on my social media, we greatly appreciate it. You connect with me and the Grill Nation show at any time on Twitter at Jason Grill. And at Grill Nation Show. Also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Jason Grill. Just search for my name. Also on YouTube now, you can just search for Jason Grill and all of our shows will pop up, all of our sneak peeks, all of our great guests. You can watch us. You can listen to us. We really appreciate your support and obviously appreciate everyone watching every week and listening every week. We are joined again today by our great collaborator with the show, Landmark National Bank. Sherrod Parrish is with us today. She has joined us on the show in the past and just does a great job as a guest host and contributor as well. And today we're also joined by Cheryl Vickers, who is just a standing entrepreneur and has been invested in and worked in multiple businesses that she's owned. So I want to welcome her to the show. Cheryl, I really don't know which business you want me to introduce you for, but you know, you're at Select Sites. You have other companies we're going to talk about. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Jason. Hi, Sayard. Good to see you both.
Well, let's first start off with just some basic background information on you, Cheryl. Talk to us about kind of, you know, your background and your businesses that you're currently involved with.
Yeah, so commercial real estate, you will find, I think people mostly come in two different ways. One is through their family business. It's a legacy industry. So a lot of times families that own and work in commercial real estate, the kids kind of come in that way. And that's not the way I came into it. The other way, I think people fall into commercial real estate by accident. So oftentimes neurodivergent people who have lots of interests and maybe have a sales personality will end up in commercial real estate because you get to interact with people, you get to deal with property, there's no limit to your income. So most people that I've met didn't really have a plan to be in commercial real estate. It just happens.
Mm-hmm. It definitely just happens a lot of times. That's true. So you're at SelectSitesLLC.com. What does that business do?
Select Sites is a site selection company. So I work with retailers and restaurants, and I do site selection for the retailer or restaurant. So tenant representation is really my specialty. I started at Cohen Esery back in 1996. So I've been in the business 26 years. And my mentor at the time was, before Red Development was created, was Dan Lowe, who did a lot of retail tenant rep and ended up being a shopping center developer. But I learned, you know, touring Costco or Lowe's or Chipotle around the market and really liked representing the tenant rather than representing the property. Indian Springs Mall was one of the properties I had to represent as a rookie in the business. You kind of get all the crappy listings. And so I had to work on some pretty bad dog listings and really didn't like it. So the retail tenant representation piece where you're picking people up at the airport, you're showing them your city, you're an expert in every small market in the whole metro area. So you know all the landlords, you know what vacancies are out there, what great little pockets are hot and growing, and that way you can help people who want to enter the Kansas City market know where to focus.
That website for that is SelectSitesLLC.com. Are you from Kansas City? I didn't ask you that.
I'm from Kansas City. I grew up in Bonner Springs and really have lived in Kansas City my whole life. I did take a little time and went to college in Texas and Dallas at North Texas and Denton, Texas, and love Texas. It's a big version of Kansas City, I think, a little warmer, but But I came back home and really love everything about Kansas City and wouldn't live anywhere else.
I'm very interested to hear a little bit about some of the things you've seen over the years. You mentioned Indian Springs Mall. I mean, I remember driving by that many times. It's gone now, right? They tore it down?
It's gone.
Yeah. What have been the biggest changes, you think, in our community as far as your industry?
Well, back when I started, I think we had 9 regional malls, enclosed regional malls. And now Oak Park Mall is still still an enclosed regional mall. All of them kind of turned an inside-out portion. When you drive by Oak Park now, you know, you'll see the Barnes & Noble faces outward. And Ward Parkway Mall turned inside out. Independence Center has that whole area at the entrance that's got exterior entrances. And so several malls, Metro North was basically scraped and is being redeveloped now by Dave and Dan Horn. And so now lifestyle centers are in the market, like Zona Rosa, Legends, Town Center Plaza. So the regional malls are really a thing of the past. You might remember Mission Mall. I worked on that mall. So the regional malls really aren't as strong anymore.
Well, I remember going to Metro North Mall because I grew up in the Northland. And, you know, we had the balloons in there, the hot air balloons.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, back in the day, you know, and as a child of the late 70s, early, I guess I was born in 79. When we go to Metro North Mall, we could stand there at that balloon area and just that was all we needed. You know, yeah. We'd have friends. Like nowadays, kids need a lot. There's a lot more stuff they need to see. I mean, we were just like, cool, there's balloons in the mall. Let's go hang out.
You just need the food court. Yeah, the food court and the balloons, and you're happy.
Yeah, right.
And the arcade. They had arcades in the day. You might remember, and that was one of the downfalls of the mall. I understand from the ownership that the arcades would you know, there'd be some unsupervised teens, and it would cause problems. And so yeah, the arcades are kind of the thing of the past too.
You know, let's talk a little bit about some of the other businesses you've started lately. Tell us about them. I know there's two of them that you wanted to talk about today.
Well, so I'll just kind of go through them. Select Sites, I'm a solopreneur, so I work out of my home in Prairie Village, and I typically run around with about 10 strong expanding retailers. Several of them will be national chains. Some of them will be more cool local brands. I like to think of myself as a talent scout for local retail, restaurants and retail that really do things well and are above the fray when it comes to mom and pop type retailers. I love to grab them and help them expand and build their brand. So I'm always looking for those really great small retail operators. When 2008 happened and the economic crash happened, as a retail and restaurant broker with 2 little babies and single mom, I was, of course, in a panic of how I was going to make a living. I hadn't built up my reserves. I was really transaction to transaction. You know, being a straight commission commercial broker in the retail restaurant world is really a vertical that's pretty narrow. So when an economic crash happens, retail and restaurant can be the first thing to stop expanding. You might find a few tenants that are still strong, like, for instance, Family Dollar kept expanding because they're catering to a more lower income demographic. So you might find a few that are still signing leases in a steep downturn, but it can be pretty scary. So I had to hunker down and figure out how to make it through that. And I told myself I would buy some property and build some wealth through commercial real estate, since I knew so much at that point. And the question is, how do you do it without a bunch of money in the bank? How do you do it without deep pockets? How do you get, you know, build your net worth statement and own property without having a big nest egg or, you know, a trust fund or something to build your portfolio? So I had to get creative, and I was tired of watching the young hotshot brokers come in and immediately, you know, make millions of dollars. And some of us just hadn't figured it out yet. A little slower to learn. I didn't know quite how to make it happen without either daddy's money or just my own savings. So I started buying property at the Jackson County tax sale because I knew where Family Dollar wanted to go. And I knew that the land assemblage was difficult in the urban core. I had to go to land bank and to the tax sale and assemble several pieces to make 1 acre for Family Dollar. And so I learned some land acquisition, land assemblage skills, and dealt with those very strange, difficult processes where you don't get to study the property. You're kind of buying it sight unseen and taking a lot of risk, but it's very affordable. So I was able to buy some property without having a lot of money, but I had the insight of the end user. So I always start with the tenant. So CRV LLC was born when I started buying property, dedicated to making it through the next downturn because I wasn't going to have, you know, only transactional business that can dry up. I was going to have cash flow that could sustain me through the next downturn, knowing that the cycles happen and there's always the next downturn coming. So I did that, and I got some property that I ended up selling, turn around and selling to Family Dollar, to the developer. And I did that twice, made some money, reinvested it in more land that I knew could be sold to a developer. And that kind of got me started.
Wow. Pretty invigorating. Gives me energy. It's a lot of work, but man, that's a great story. Very successful.
Very risky.
Very risky, yeah. Sounds like Sarah, it sounds like Cheryl learned a lot throughout this process.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I admire about her is just, you know, this group that she's created. Just all those lessons that were hard won kind of for her, like she wants to pour that into other women and be a resource for them to take that risk themselves. So,
well, yeah. And the truth is, it should not take me 18 years in the business to begin building wealth and buying property. And what I'm dedicated to, besides having my own insulation from downturns, is also to share that information. But also, we can all begin building wealth in commercial real estate a lot faster. I think to get some of the tricks of the trade and to get some insights and to feel like somebody will guide you and share some of the steps to take earlier, there's no reason women couldn't start investing and buying property the second or third year in.
We're going to talk more about that after the break. Great to have Cheryl Vickers and Sayard Parrish joining me today on the Grill Nation show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining us today on the radio, via podcast, on our website, grillnationshow.com, or on YouTube. We're joined again today by Sayard Parrish from Landmark National Bank and Cheryl Vickers. Cheryl is with SelectSitesLLC.com. She also is the president of CRV LLC and Guest Suites KC, a short-term rental superhost management company. Let's start there. What does that mean, Cheryl? What is a short-term rental superhost management company?
Well, so I'll tell the quick story is I had a client down in the Bottoms near the new Hy-Vee Arena and near the Stockyards, in the Stockyards District, surrounded by restaurants and retail, and they had some vacant, beautiful, very modern apartments available, really expensive, had, you know, garages and all these amenities. And they were not leasing because they were so expensive. And really, it was a tiny bit before its time. It was before the Hy-Vee Arena opened. And we were leasing the office building, the Livestock Exchange building. And so I saw these gorgeous apartments, and they had rental furniture. They were renting the furniture in there for a model. And I'm like, why aren't you cash flowing this beautiful space and renting it short term? And I hadn't done short term rentals yet. But I just knew that people would want to stay where there's retail and restaurants and walkability. And so I convinced the owner to let me run it as a short-term rental. You know, I figured you add some coffee, you add some toilet paper, you add some comfy sheets and some towels, and you know, boom, you can get $200 a night and pay for that space. And so I did that for Bill Haw and Carrie Amigoni for 3 or 4 years. Loved it. I actually ended up returning that ugly rental furniture and bought the furniture to trick out the space because it was such a gorgeous, modern kind of concrete loft type feel that it needed really cool mid-century modern furniture. So I furnished it, and it was a great creative outlet. You know, I'm doing a lot of contracts and leases and sales every day, but this was more of the creative side. So I really loved furnishing it and then hosting people. And you're just on your app, and you're just communicating with people on the app, and they get themselves in the building, you know, remotely. So it really is just a function of making friends with people traveling to Kansas City. They love the unit. They give you 5-star reviews. And so once I had a 5-star super host status and that experience under my belt, I started turning my own rental units from long-term rentals to short-term rentals. And then I have an Airstream camper that I had put on the market for a while for people to rent. And sometimes people want to rent an Airstream before they buy one or just to experience it, because a lot of people dream of having one, but they don't actually go buy the Airstream. So I've got a few that I manage. I manage one for another property owner, and I've thought about building that business. It's still small, but it's lucrative. There's so much more income than just a long-term rental. And you get to really keep the property beautiful and upgraded and decorated. And it's just kind of nice to not, you know, lose control of a property where a long-term renter comes in and you kind of don't see it again for 2 or 3 years.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought about it like that. So you've had a good experience with short-term rentals then?
Well, I think it's really easy to price it at the point where you want a certain clientele. I'm very clear in my listings that it's not for a party. I have one house that actually is a pretty good spot for a party, for like a big family or someone to come and kind of be a celebration spot. But if you're really clear in your listing what you will and won't allow, you can allow pets, you can not allow pets, you can allow kids, not allow kids. And so you can kind of guide people, the kind of people you want to rent your property and avoid some of the things that people are probably afraid of, getting their house torn up or something. You can really guide that by how you list it and how you describe it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we've never had you on the show. I've been doing the show since 2012, and I'm shocked that we have not had you on at any capacity yet.
Flying under the radar, Jason.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we're bringing her to light today.
Yes, we are. Sarah, you talked about Wired and kind of how you got engaged. Let's talk about that. Let's start there. So, Sarah, do you just want to kind of talk a little bit with Cheryl and about what Wired is and how you got engaged or what's going on with Wired and what its goals are?
I got involved. They invited me to be a part of a panel on financing real estate and just kind of helping with kind of tricks and tips to kind of get started and begin that conversation with a banker, because a lot of times, you know, that's one of the last pieces to fall in line, and it can be really helpful to begin those conversations early. So I participated in that panel and have continued to stay involved with them and the group and what they're doing. And so WIRED stands for Women in Real Estate Development, primarily focused on those commercial projects and investments and development projects. Lots of women do invest in real estate, but typically start on that residential side. And so this is kind of helping them to see the potential with making those bigger, I guess, riskier investments in terms of putting their money into commercial real estate and how to make that work.
Talk to us more, Cheryl, about Wired, because I know that you've been really engaged in this, and the goals really are to try to provide opportunities, mentorship, and it's kind of unique because you have a podcast, you do all kinds of different things.
Yeah, so Wired was born about 4 years ago, maybe five now. I was working and collaborating with Audrey Navarro of Clemens Real Estate, and she was really just, she inspired me in so many ways. She runs her own company also, Clemens Real Estate, and she's got the heart of a teacher. She was a teacher before she got in commercial real estate. I love spending time with her. We're great friends. She's brilliant. So we have this collaborative relationship, and we both really believe collaboration is the key to success, really pooling talent and getting people together to make things happen. So I had told her about some women I'm friends with in Dallas that are brokers who all tend to really work together and share information, and they just seemed a little bit more connected than I felt like the women were in Kansas City, and I had observed that, and I said, you know, we should really be the mentors we wish we had. I see these women, you know, kind of mentoring each other, and I'm regretful that that I didn't have that opportunity. I think that's why it's taken me 18 years to finally figure out how to invest and jump off the cliff and do this. And I think if we were those mentors for women, we could shorten that time frame, and women could get successful faster. They would also share the information, and pretty soon we would build a giant army of women buying and developing commercial real estate, and really affecting their communities by developing their own neighborhoods and their own communities. It really shouldn't be outsiders coming in and developing property because they're the only ones that know how, right? Everybody should be able to develop their own part of the city. So we started Wired as a happy hour event once a month. And at first we just hosted it like a party, and we paid for everything, and we invited all of our favorite women in the industry. And you could just tell immediately women were hungry for this kind of collaboration, this kind of support, this kind of mentorship where you can ask the dumb questions, you can share things you've learned. And so we started doing it once a month. We both had virtual assistants at the time, so we were able to fit that into our busy brokerage schedules, and it just was hot. So after about a year or two, we sent out an email survey, who would want to invest together. It kind of made sense. We were analyzing performance together. We were teaching women kind of how to analyze those investments to see if they're worth investing in. We had panels like the panel that Sayard was on, where the bankers, because our first investment, we actually didn't have a woman banker. And I really felt like if we're going to do a women-led investment, it would be great that the whole team, but we really didn't have many women lenders on in our group. So the lender panel, the attorney panels, we've had the accounting panels, the tax, tricks panels we've had. It really brings us in a circle with other women in the industry that can support us or be vendors in our efforts to buy and develop properties. So we started investing together. We bought $1 million property off the plaza. We're under contract now on our second one, and we hope to buy a couple a year. And really, my goal is that more women will feel like this is a portal into the business if they just don't have anyone exposing them to the opportunities of building wealth through commercial real estate. And we even want to, we're forming an education committee now that we hope to even put it in front of high school girls and let women know what they could be doing, because you see these shopping centers, you don't even think about the fact you could be building them and owning them.
What is kind of the entry point, I guess you would say, for someone, to get engaged in one of those investments, hypothetically.
So I'll just talk about the first one. The entry point was $2,000 to join the investment. And in the Sayard knows, because we're in the middle of the second one now, if you have 30 people that want to join, that's an opportunity for several to learn for the first time and be a part of an investment, even with a little chunk. And that can be so empowering because, of course, as you leverage your properties, that can just help you build your portfolio. But also, you can just say, I own $1 million property off of the plaza. Nobody has to know the percentage of your ownership. And the second one we're doing, the minimum was $5,000. Because the problem with that is if you have a big group of investors, only a few are going to guarantee that loan. The entire 20 aren't going to guarantee the note. So whoever's the top 3, 4, or 5 are going to guarantee the bulk of it. And so they're basically taking on that risk for the benefit of the group who are learning how it's done. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit challenging. And so we've found some banks that will help us through that a little bit, because you don't want to take on too much risk as the top investors.
Let's start there after the break. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show. Fascinating conversation with Cheryl Vickers and Sayard Parrish. We're going to talk more about Wired here after the break. Thanks for joining us today on radio, podcast, or online. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. I want to thank Sayard Parrish from Landmark National Bank for collaborating and joining us on today's show and connecting Grill Nation and us to Cheryl Vickers, who just does everything. President of CRV LLC. She's one of the owners of Select Sites LLC. She also owns Guest Suites KC. She's a co-founder of Wired. What does that stand for again, Cheryl?
Women in Real Estate Development.
Really? Okay. So that's very clever. I like that. It stands out. I like that you capitalized it too. You talk about mentors. You talk about how you didn't really have any mentors. You kind of learned. You learned through trial and error and just kind of getting yourself out there and working hard. Why do you think mentors are so needed in this specific industry as a whole?
I can watch it happen and unfold under my nose at a Wired event. When you see one of my heroes is Diane Botlin, who just finished building a 44-unit apartment building in Waldo, right at 75th and Warnell. And she, you know, she is just such a trendsetter. You know, she cares about the design, she cares about art, she cares about people. And you can just tell in her developments that she doesn't just look at the return on investment only. And she's building stuff from the ground up. And there's not a lot of women that are building commercial real estate from the ground up at this time. I really hope that in 10 years we see that changing because of this momentum that we can build. You watch a woman that you relate to, that you know personally, doing big things. It's you just can't put enough emphasis on how important that is. You see this happening all over the industry, but how many women that, you know, it's the same thing with race. I mean, you have to see people that look like you doing the thing you want to do, and it's then you're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. If you do not see anyone, it feels like a big leap, right? So the momentum is unbelievable. And so we try to showcase and put women and minorities in the forefront of cool things that are happening. Another rock star is Myron McCant. He just built a $4 million, 14,000 square foot, 24-hour childcare facility on Prospect Avenue. As a first-time developer, ground up, had never done it before, worked the political angles. You know, he got some money from the 8-cent sales tax. I mean, these things are hard to do. And some of us have been in 26 years, haven't built ground up yet. We've redeveloped things, we've repositioned things, I tried to encourage him and let him know he could do it from the beginning, helped him get the land assembled, and it's built, and it's open, and it's phenomenal, and I think it was the hardest thing he probably ever did in his life, but now he's an expert. He just is. He's an expert, and he can inspire how many people who see him and look at him on the Prospect Corridor and know that they can, not only can they do it, but they could ask him for advice, questions, guidance, and feel like they can do it too. It changes everything, I really believe.
I love hearing it. How do people get connected with this group?
So Wired, we really have been a very loose group where, like I said, we just had wine and cheese we tried to have it at a women-owned restaurant or a women-owned venue or a venue that someone has just completed a project. And so the space itself each month is pretty much inspiring. This month we're going to Soiree Steak and Oyster House in the 18th and Vine area. Soiree opened about 2 years ago. She was my client, Anita Moore, Chef Anita Moore, and she has a beautiful venue at 18th and Vine with her amazing menu and her food is art. And she has live jazz, and it's a beautiful facility. So it's going to be closed tomorrow night, and it will be just us. And we're highlighting all of the women and minority developers that are doing major projects right now in the 18th and Vine corridor. So all you do is get on our email list, which we have a membership committee, and you can just email me, and I can get you on the list. But you get invited once you come. If you love it, it's easy to join. It's a very low cost to join Wired. And then you can just come to our happy hours. We also have coffees on First Friday. So we just get a chance to get together and collaborate. We are not a networking group. We are only for women who invest, develop, or broker commercial real estate, or women who want to do one of those three things. You have to want to invest, develop, or broker commercial real estate to be a part of Wired. So we're not like Crew, which is an amazing group also, but that's more of a networking group to find people to work together with. We're really a support and mentoring group for women who are in this very tight space of trying to build wealth through commercial real estate.
That's great. We have about 3.5 minutes left in the show. What is your best advice that you've ever received that has really helped you in your journey? Maybe some advice you'd like to share with those who are listening today.
Well, I'd say I've got a few things that come to mind. One is when you see a property, if I see a property that I think is really interesting, the worst thing you can do is sit and think about it and analyze it too long. The very best thing you can do is put it under contract immediately, because you can cancel the contract. I mean, you don't want to just put things under contract willy-nilly, but you need to get it under control. A lot of people will do so much analysis, meet with several people, talk to too many people, and if you don't have it under control, someone else will get it under control, and you've wasted all that time because now it's not yours to develop or purchase. So you get it under contract, put your earnest money down, and you do that studying and analyzing during your due diligence period. So just don't wait. If you see something and you know it's good, because I have learned, I didn't know this 8 years ago when I started buying property, or nine, I didn't know the innate ability I have and the gut that I have, but now I know, because I've had such success that I'm like, why didn't I start doing this my third year in? I could be, my net worth statement would look amazing by now. But the second thing besides just get it under contract quickly is have your net worth statement ready. Any of your friends who have their net worth statement can give you a template. Sayard has a template with Landmark Bank, but you want to get your net worth statement locked up, and you want it to look great. So if someone says, hey, send me your net worth statement, you've got it. Boom. You can send it that minute. You don't want to go, have to get with your accountant and it takes 2 weeks, because that'll kill the deal and you can't get it under contract. So have your net worth statement and move quickly with real estate you know is good.
I'm kind of afraid to get that document from Sayard, but I probably should. I don't know. That's a great advice. Some really good practical advice. You've been obviously been involved with site selection. You've been involved with retail, restaurants, commercial real estate. Is there one thing that you think, and you've obviously been in Texas, you said, so is there one thing you think that Kansas City doesn't have that would really, something that you'd like to see it have it to move the city forward as far as, your world, Cheryl?
I thought about this question earlier. If there's one thing I think Kansas City needs, it's actually, and it's not about a retail or a restaurant or a venue, it's really having a very diverse set of developers. Again, I just don't think you want think of the big developer you see building everything in Johnson County or even on the plaza. You don't need that developer building every small urban core neighborhood, right? That's not what needs to happen. We need everyone, 50% man, 50% woman, every color developing their own neighborhood. So we need diverse developers. But I do wish we had a downtown, downtown ballpark or stadium. So
that's on the way.
I wish that would happen. Also, of course, public transportation. If we can get this streetcar moving east and west, that would be great.
Very interesting. We have about 10 seconds left. What about the plaza? And just, I'd love to see those stores, those retail stores come back, after COVID and with the new ownership.
So, I remember when the plaza was very local and everybody loved the local vibe of the plaza. And then, as a landlord, that can be difficult if you need your stability and you need your rent paid. I think the plaza will bounce back. It's an amazing asset and it's a landmark, and it will bounce back and retail will come back.
Great to hear. Cheryl Vickers has been our guest here on the Grill Nation show, SelectSitesLLC.com. I want to thank Sayard Parrish from Landmark National Bank as well, banklandmark.com. We appreciate all the listeners joining us. Cheryl, we could have talked for hours about this information. We have some people from LinkedIn commenting. Great job, Cheryl. But anyways, we got to go here. We'll be back next week on the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.